Blog Talk Radio.
Bedtime stories with Val and Lila. I'll be reading your dream vision from Duane, the great writer. And we have two special guests on tonight too. One. Okay, the other one didn't turn up.
Okay.
He had to cancel, so sorry about that. But we do have one. Val, would you introduce this guest?
Yeah, this is Tim. Tim's going to be on with us tonight. Tim's from Oregon. He's one of the new friends, and he's I've had a lot of experiences with Tim in the past with mining and looking for gold and treasure hunting. But we're both into what Duane's presenting, and we thought we'd have Tim on to share how he found Duane and what his experiences have been, maybe some real side experiences or just thoughts about what has been going on with Tim since he found Duane and up to the point where he did find Duane, maybe some of his history. So that's later in the show. Right now, here's Lila.
Yes, your dream vision, book 6. I'll just pick up where I left off last time. Dreams are known as far back in the beginning of mankind's history, when he began to produce manuscripts that told of his life and adventures. Along with the mystery of his dreams, there was always been an interest in one's dreams until the rep systems came more controlling and domineering and began suppressing all the vital information on dreams and even keeping it hidden only for themselves, because a demonstration most people sought someone who had the understanding of their meaning. The oldest book known on dream visions is the Egyptian Book of Dreams. It was introduced around the approximate time of the 12th dynasty, B.C. This book is in the British Museum and was written by Gogol Dost. He worked with one of the scribes in the court of Thesaurus, the Pharaoh of Egypt, to transcribe the knowledge of dreams at that time. Gogol Dost is one of the many universal guides that works with the new man. As I have shared many experiences with him and others, and the new students will meet with Gogol Dost, Ravizar, and Paul. Dreaming, first of all, from this physical level, is basically the unconscious mind's way of satisfying its secrets and and many hidden wishes and desires. What is contained in the subconscious of each person is what they have decided and created as their reality. Here is where all of us become our own truth. There are endless truths everywhere in life, and it is the right of each person to decide theirs. The confusions of what is being experienced on the earth at this time is each person is right in their own position. To the many reasonable minds of this world, what I am referring to would seem out of place. But once a person has real experiences and is able to position themselves with the true reality, the is, then they will recognize the ultimate value of free will. It may sound funny, but even those who are always planning or on destroying others have the right to do so. I am not agreeing with what they are doing, but merely pointing to the real fact of free will. As a person becomes more aware, they will learn about the natural reality of cause and effect, which is labeled as karma. As a person positions themselves with the true reality, they are no longer interested in any of the old destructive ways of the human consciousness. And they learn to evolve and excel themselves into what I term the real universes of pure light. The unconscious area is what the metaphysicians call the subconscious, and what is really known as the etheric level, the fifth body of man. Because the average person has been educated with limited experience and is not aware even enough to know of their other vehicles that they carry around with them, it only makes sense. Most people do not understand the etheric level and how it relates to the human mind and body, and especially your dream visions. This area is a vast unknown and a great mystery to the authorities. Those who are trapped in their human minds and heads, yet they proclaim they alone are always making headway into unveiling its consciousness and resources. Nothing could be further from the truth that they have imagined for themselves. But I will say, what they come up with sounds so convincing, so they do get acknowledgement, or at least trying. The idea here is this: as it is in my construction business, I tell people what I can and cannot do. I do not theorize that to them, but provide a real service. In the official authorities, they would get off their illusionary ideals and test what I am presenting here. The real guides would work with them and show them what really is happening in a person's dream visions. This is not rocket science that I am presenting, but more so something wonderful, fun, and most of all, real simply tested. We can all test this. Do you want to introduce one of our friends?
Sure. Okay, so thank you, Wyla, for the reading. I just want to mention that you read about Gopal Das. He's one of the real guides, and he's one of the guides that actually helps people to, or helps mankind in different ways. And he helped with writing, he had a hand in writing this book, the Egyptian book of the dream book here, in terms of interpreting dreams. There was a guide that helped mankind with helping them create fire, find fire. Dwayne, the great writer now, is great of a step as bringing fire into to man, because we're right now in this time in history, we can make a huge jump from religion and spiritual paths into recognizing the real reality, which is the is. So it's an exciting time, and one of the persons, the free beings of light who recognizes this is Tim here from Oregon. So we wanted to talk to him and see how he's doing and what's up. And maybe, Tim, you can introduce yourself and talk about how you found Dwayne. Good to have you.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I am a prospector at the present with the purpose to try to be helpful in creating some of the projects that Dwayne has expressed that sound like they make sense to me to do, like the All Solar Research Vessel and the Universal University and the new home school for the children to learn about what's real. I was just going back a little bit to when I came across the new presentation. I was trying to find out about a person that calls himself Lord Sioux here in the Grants Pass, Oregon area, because I knew a young lady that was involved with him. He was in an Ekinkar corporation for like 30 years, and then he decided, or said that, from what I was gathering from what he was saying, that I was seeing on the information about him, is that his master, Harry Klemp, told him, he says, that he had gone as far as he could go with him and that he could go on his own. And so he was doing his own teaching stuff about telling people that we're all gods in the making. And but anyway, when I was looking at the information about him, there was other things that were in the same location on the tablet that talked about Ekinkar, which I was involved with for about 6 years, so from about 2010, I became interested in Ekinkar because I had found a book that Paul Twitchell had wrote called The Ekvidya. And I read it, and I was very interested in what Paul was saying about yugas and all kinds of things that I was kind of fascinated with, interested in all these things he was writing in this Ekbija book. And it happened to be that there was other books by him in the house too, because the woman that I'd lived with for like 15 years had passed away. And she had the books from an elderly lady, I guess, that she was helping occasionally. And I didn't pay any attention to them, but there they were. They started showing up, these books called the Shariat Ki Sugma, Book 1 and Book 2, and Letters to Gail. And there was like 4 or 5. So I started paying attention and reading them and read them. And I got in touch with the Ekinkar Corporation. And I was going to what's called satsang groups. We only had like 6 people here in the Grants Pass area. But then there was others in the Southwest Oregon and Medford and Ashland and around, and we'd have some get-togethers. And I was studying these discourses that were being provided. We'd get together once a month, or was it once every 2 weeks, to have a satsang meeting and discuss the discourses that we were studying. And it was all interesting to me, and because I'd been through many things before this Ekinkar stuff in my life, the Rosicrucian order, and I was real interested in a particular book that the head of the Rosicrucian order had wrote. H. Spencer Lewis is his name, and he'd wrote a book called Self-Mastery and Fate with the Cycles of Life. And so I had lived that lifestyle, tried to fit into these cycles, fortunate times of the day to do certain things and unfortunate times to do certain things. And so you try to test this stuff out and see if it works, which I had a feeling of confidence going by these cycles. And it has to do with the moon phases and the tides, and a person's birth date stuff. But anyway, it was all pretty important to me, and I would try to fit into these cycles. There's 7 every day, and they're like 3 hours and 20 some minutes or something. And there's positive and negative every 3.5 hours about. And then you have a positive moon 3.5 days before the moon's full, and a negative moon 3.5 days after the moon. And then you fit that in with the cycles of the daily cycles. So you'd have 3.5 hours positive and 3.5 hours negative and 3.5 hours positive. But that's how the cycles went. So if you had a positive moon and a positive cycle, and the description of the things that we're fortunate to do during that particular time, that would be very beneficial. But anyway, I was living that stuff in my life. And then also there was a book given to me called The Impersonal Life by a man who wrote it. His name was Dowling, I think. And that was a very, very powerful book in my life, besides trying to test these cycles of life. And then this Impersonal Life had the words that were, I guess you could call them pretty words or something, but they were very powerful to me. It was like, I thought that was truth. I guess I could give you a little example of like some of the words. It would start out like partly, in order the better to comprehend the deep and vital truths contained in this message, you are urged to approach each reading of it with quiet and open mind. Still the intellect and invite your soul to do the teaching. Well, anyway, that's just kind of stuff that I was attracted to for whatever reasons by the lifestyle I'd lived of growing up very young with a lot of freedom to go and do whatever I wanted practically, because I lived on an island up in Puget Sound in Washington, and so it was wooded, second growth timber, and the nearest store was, you know, a couple miles or something. And I didn't have close neighbors, but I had a bicycle and I could ride around. And my father had given me a beautiful pony named Silver that I would ride around and enjoy that. But my neighbors that I did have nearby were, one was from a logging family, and there was a group of kids, and they were pretty, rough compared to the life that I was used to. They swear and they smoke and things like that. So I was growing up with friends like that. So I learned, and then I had another friend that wasn't about a mile or mile and a half away. He was a little older, but he really swore a lot and smoked. And so between the two, I learned a lot of swear words and took up the habit of smoking very young. And then to get around, if I was going any distance, I would hitchhike maybe all the way back to when I was 9 years old or in that area. If I had to go 10 miles to see a friend up at another community on the island in Freeland or something, I'd just hitchhike. And it didn't take long for me to be in a lifestyle of smoking. So I'd find cigarette butts the other kids I knew would steal tobacco from their parents and things like that. But anyway, so that was kind of a wild upbringing to grow up and get, I guess, what you'd call bad habits very early. By the time I was 14, I was a regular smoker. In fact, I remember one of my older brothers bought me a carton of cigarettes on my 14th birthday because I'd already been, that was just a habit. I would smoke. And then you're running around with certain people and you're that age. And at the time, there's all kinds of things going on about drinking and then partying and you're all this stuff about sex. And so I was going through getting my first jobs and things, and that was like working for a whole bunch of ladies, Valkyrie Enterprises, and a development that they'd bought from my father when he sold out his property up there on Whidbey Island. And it was back in those times in the 60s, I forget it. It was like, $2.50 an hour or something like that. And I got to learn, because my father taught me how to run some equipment and stuff, bulldozers. And I was driving on the roads there and the logging roads where I lived way back when I was like 9 years old. He'd give me a little Plymouth car and stuff so I could run around. But anyway, so when that job was over, I got another job. I didn't really like school too much. for Weyerhaeuser. I went to work for like $2.89 and a half an hour or something for them in the Cascades. And I was had my oldest brother lived over on the mainland, and I could stay there and live where he lived, an apartment, and go to work there. But anyway, I had a friend that went down to, he had relatives in Southern California there at Redlands, and I went down to see what it was like down there. And I was, by now I was smoking and drinking and doing, smoking grass and hash and experimenting a little with drugs, LSD and things. And one day I was taking a walk and I seen a gal walking towards me, and I said hi as I passed by her and went down the street and went up another street. I was just going for a walk, and I had noticed a couple guys sitting at the end of this road that I lived on, where it hit the road that I had been walking on when I seen this gal. And anyway, so it ends up this gal got murdered in an orange grove right there near the area where I lived. And the cops came and visited me because I guess someone, you know, had noticed that I had been in the area, which I had been. And so I went down to the station with them, and they asked lots of questions. And then it was getting kind of crazy, and they were acting like I was the one who did it. And they put me through quite a bit of stuff like you'd see on a TV movie. And arrested me for murder. So I had to go through the experience of being led into a San Bernardino County courthouse in shackles and chains. That's, you've got things around your ankles, and you've got your handcuffs on, and they hook together behind your back to the shackles, and you're on United Press International and Associated Press International and papers, and so that was quite an experience to go through. Anyway, I did get a hold of my father, and he had to pay like $7,000 to get an attorney to represent me. And so they took me into the courthouse, and the attorney said to the, whatever they call the cops, they had a writ of habeas corpus. And that's something to do with what proof do you have for charging this person, arresting this person for murder. And anyway, so they'd already held me 3.5 days going through like a nightmare of telling me I did it, and give me a few minutes with him and I'll get it out of him and on, you know, stuff like that. And I was only 19 or 20 at this time. Guess I just turned 20. So that was a big experience. I was released and went back up here to Oregon with my father. And that makes a person wonder why, you know, these experiences that we get in life and the lifestyle that we're living. So I was, I guess, what's called seeking about this stuff, but that I had a little experience with being not real into, but my mother would take me to the Catholic Church when I was young and stuff if I wanted to go. And they didn't have many people at the church. And so anyway, as an altar boy and stuff like that. And so this Christian stuff was hard to to understand in the Catholic Church. They do this Latin stuff, and you don't understand what their words mean or anything like that, and all their rituals and stuff like that. But anyway, after that experience of having been arrested for murder, I was really seeking about getting to know what about life, I guess, and the whys about it. So that I came across books like the Aquarian Gospel of Jesus, the Christ of the Piscean Age, and I would read that, and all the information, and it sounded to be like very possibly truth, and cusp of the ages, and cherubim and seraphim, and on and on, and I guess that was part of my life too. Besides, I was kind of a free person to do whatever I wanted. I didn't have very much of what you would call parental guidance about. I was kind of free to smoke and stuff when I was young and go hitchhike around or do what I wanted. But so I would go and I'd experience the gambling life too. I'd go to hitchhike around or drive or whatever I was doing at the time to try this experience, see if I could make lots of money or something in Nevada or in Reno or something. But anyway, I ended up meeting a young lady there that I fell in love with, and so we got married, and I had a son, and then after a few years, it didn't work out because we were both, I guess you would call it, alcoholic nymphomaniacs or something. But I was able to, you know, work jobs and stuff too for the lifestyle. But it got into being violent and all that kind of stuff. And besides that, I'd had experiences with the alcohol of accidents and. So eventually that didn't work out. So then I went through this lifestyle of trying to find fortune in the gold in the mountains, and went out in the wilderness here in Southwest Oregon and tried that out. And I was getting gold, but not, you know, a lot. My partner and I did at the time, it was about an ounce in a day, and so it wasn't being plentiful income, but I found ways to take care of myself. I'd found a lot of dead cedar around that the loggers and stuff didn't harvest, like the fir and the pine and the dead Port Orford cedar. And I'd had experience on Whidbey Island growing up making fence on the land we had for the pony I had, like 5 acres of fencing. So I started dealing with the government on buying fence posts. And way back in the beginning, they only charged me 10 cents a post, so I could buy 1,000 of them for $100. And all the building supplies and the farmers and ranchers, they all would buy the posts. So, and I'd make rails too. People bought rails, so I had a way that way of making income on my own, so I could continue my lifestyle of drinking and smoking cigarettes and grass. And I was pretty much free to go to the bars and gamble and as a lifestyle. And then eventually I got up to Alaska and stuff to see if I could find a niche up there to make a fortune or something in the gold. And it didn't work out. Let's see, the last time I went up, even on this last summer, it was, with Val, we went to a place that I'd been before and tested and thought that that was going to be real good, but that didn't pan out either. So that would have been different, though, now, because the purpose would have been, if it turned into being plentiful and productive and gold, it would be a means to help with the projects, to get these projects going in the new presentation. Oh, I mentioned too that there was a meditation that I got into, and this went on for years too, that was very important to me. There were certain things that I would had, whatever you want to call it, ritual style of doing every day or something, because what I was hearing from certain words that I was paying attention to is like, if you will devote but 1 hour each day, thus to me alone, imagining and practicing my presence within you. Anyway, there's a promise made and stuff, and in these words that if you do that. So I was trying to do the hour a day for quite a while of just imagining and practicing. I don't know whether you want to call it God or something in you, a higher self or something. And then there was a meditation that was very important to me that I was doing every day for, I guess, years, even though I was a drinker and smoker and things like that, but I would do my meditation. I guess if we've got time, I could probably remember it because I did it for so long, some of it, that it goes like, this is called meditation number one. I alone am. Dear friend, do you really want to come speedily and eternally into your own, that which you came here into manifestation to express? Then meditate earnestly and persistently, day after day, on the below. 10 minutes or more on the first part, until you realize its truth. In the one mind, there is the consciousness only of wholeness, completion, and perfection. In it, there are no ideas of lack or limitation of supply of any kind. To every center of that mind, and every human mind is such a center, there flows naturally every needed idea. Even as air rushes into a vacuum, or as the blood carries to every cell of the body everything needed for their growth and sustenance. Remember that one mind is in you, is your mind, as there is only one mind. Also remember, by your realization of this great truth, and by making it the dominant fact in your consciousness, are you and your Father truly one. Anyway, that's part of the meditation, because they would take 20 minutes. I just kept going on, but you get the idea. That's what I was, that was important to me in my life, to go through this, these words as whether, whatever I was doing, if I was splitting rails or posts or out hunting for gold or hunting for mushrooms or whatever my life was at the time, I was still doing this meditation every day. It was an important thing to me. So I was going through things like that. And there was some other words, like the main words were, in what kind of gave me no fear about working inside the earth in the rock of, on veins or something, is be still and know I am God. And I would be saying that to myself, not like thinking that I was the only thing that was God, but I mean that That was just words that seemed to have a big importance too. But anyway, going through that stuff, and then eventually getting together with the gal I spent 15 years with, and that had had those books after she passed away, that that I started reading of Paul Twitchell's, and then this young lady that was into this Lord Sioux guy here in Grants Pass, Oregon. So I was checking on the, and I wasn't familiar with the computers or the the smartphones, or I didn't have one. I just would have a regular flip phone or whatever just to make phone calls. But anyway, a friend had loaned me a tablet because he got it for free, and he had his smartphone or something, and he and I was looking at it, and about this guy, I was trying to check up and see what was up with this guy that she was calling Lord Sioux, that had been in this Etkin Car Corporation for 30 years. And that's when I noticed, I think it was called something about Etkin Car. And I think Kelsey Brown or something had put it on the thing I was looking at on the tablet. But I read it. I had read a little about the Lord Sioux, and I thought, boy, he's a strange character. But I read what Kelsey had put on this tablet, and it made a lot of sense to me, I guess you'd say. It was it seemed like it was something that I related to, that was important to me. So then I ended up getting to get a hold of Kelsey, and there was some books, PDF books, that were available to get on, so that I could read some things about this new presentation. And so I got to get the PDF new books, and it all made sense to me, and seems like I'm very thankful that it's in my life, that this new you song is being given to connect with real guidance and a real education about what life's all about, about real universes. And at the present, that's my real purpose. I see it from my lifestyle and what I've been through, is that I see it still as seeking at the present for me the information, but also the attempts to earn my way through, maybe continuing to try to find gold or precious stones or something for these projects for all mankind at this present time, to help with the creating physically the all solar research vessels and whatever communities or things that would benefit all, that seem to be what's important to me at the time. And I'm very thankful for these books, and to get to have Skype things that I can hear what's being said. And so that's my thoughts about the new presentation, and kind of how life led me through this particular lifetime to be involved with it.
That's wonderful, Tim. You have a quite a life there, quite a bio there. It could be a movie. And I'm glad I was able to partner up with you and do some prospecting in Alaska. That was fun. You know, the person that you mentioned, Kelsey, who introduced you to the new presentation, she's here. She's actually online.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, she may have a question or comment. Are you there, Kelsey?
Yeah, sure. I left out a lot of embarrassing things, but it's just a little idea.
That's okay. Yeah, we have bedtime stories, PG here, rated, yes.
Hi,
Hi, Kelsey.
Yeah, hi.
Oh, this is fun. We just called in, so we heard the tail end of the story there. It sounded like Jesus was in the building, Jesus, with the I am meditation. I just was reading today on wonderfulworldwideeducators.com under the new articles, this new title Dwayne wrote about meditation or the isness. So that's something fun people can go check out and decide something new from there. And I'm actually here with Henry Draper as well. We went to the Conscious Life Expo, which was pretty cool. But Tim is the prospector. What's Henry going to ask him?
What am I going to ask Tim? Okay. Yeah, well, Tim, it's fun to listen to your stories. It's cool. And Tim has his own radio show that our listeners might not know about called Tell It Like It Is with Tim. And Tim just shares his views that he's like seeing, you know, every week. He's very aware of what's going on the planet, and it's pretty cool to hear that, you know, your view and what you've been through to get to, you know, where you are now, Tim. But I was wondering if you could tell us, like you said, when you first heard about the new you, you saw that it made sense, but could you explain it, but could you elaborate on that a little bit? Like, why did it make sense?
Well, it was like the experiences I was involved with in the Eckankar Corporation because of the books I'd read of Paul Twitchell. And so I thought, well, here's this new, what's called a master in Eckankar, Harold Clamp. And I didn't know much about Darwin Gross. From what I had been reading, there wasn't much, but there was things going on in these get-togethers in the Eckankar Corporation stuff that didn't quite seem the same as what I was gathering from the information Paul was presenting. But I was very interested in Harold's books, and I bought lots of them and paid attention to them and enjoyed them, I guess you'd say. And there was beautiful artwork too. I don't know if it was some of Ava's when she was in the corporation or what, posters, and I'd buy them and have them all over, hung up as beautiful pictures in the house on the walls. But the information started making sense to me because it was, I think it was called The Truth About Eckankar or something like that is what I was first paying attention to on that tablet that Kelsey presented. And it talked about Darwin and Harold and things that Dwayne was saying from this real side that seemed like from what I heard a little bit about all this stuff was making sense that it doesn't sound right about this even what I'd read about how Harold became how he wrote about his experience of being given the rod of power or becoming the master of that corporation or whatever you want to call it, because Paul's writings, I think more connected to or enjoyed like knowing what he was saying more. And then I was wondering about things like Harold and he hearing, oh, he got a new wife or something. And I got all kinds of cassettes, too, all kinds from Paul's times and Harold's. All kinds of them. I inherited them because they closed the X Center that they had in this Grants Pass area instead of renting the building for, you know, because it wasn't being growing or whatever. I somehow ended up with all these cassettes, and so I listened to all of them. But then when I was hearing about this stuff about Darwin Gross, and then it sounded strange to me, things like all of a sudden Paul's wife was married to Darwin, and it just, I was wondering what's going on. And then in this corporation, they were starting to have all these can and cannot stuff. You can't do this and you can't do that. You got to do this and, you know, all kinds of stuff like this. And these worship service things and how people were acting. And one of these things that they had called a RISA, I forget what it represents, a regional spiritual aid or something. Anyway, there was something about even her appearance when I first met her at one of these big get-togethers. She wore all black. And Paul had wrote things about how black wasn't a good color to wear or like that. But it wasn't just the black dress that she wore. It was her actions and appearance, and I thought, boy, this is kind of a strange person that acts like they're something special, or you have to do what she says. She's telling everybody to do these things, so the information that I was getting, because I was interested in this truth about Eck and Carr stuff I was seeing, started making a lot of sense about what I was hearing about from what Dwayne was having his real side experiences and seeing what was really going on about Darwin and how Harold and Darwin were just given opportunities but never had what Paul called the rod of power and the deals they'd made and how Darwin went off on his own stuff and or whatever you want to call it, got kicked out by the real guides or else he was going to have to deal with some bad experiences in whatever realm, astral realm or things like that. So the more that I got to pay attention to what Dwayne had wrote in these PDFs and books, the more I wanted to pay attention to what was being said. And that's what seemed to make so much sense, is what I got to be reading about what Dwayne was telling about, even like, I got to read New Book 9.
We got cut off. Are you there, Tim? We can't hear you anymore.
Can you hear me now?
Now we're good, yes.
Oh, I must have hit the mute little button. But anyway, it was because of Dwayne's writings, I guess, and what I was getting to hear on the Skype get-togethers. And but I think, to me, it made sense what he was saying about the corporation and what I was seeing and my involvement with them. It was like, I'll mention another thing about how powerful Paul's Ekbedia was on me. As soon as I read that Paul talked about a soul travel. And he said, well, you're not going to be able to soul travel or if you smoke or if you drink or do drugs. And it was like a light switch for me. That's been over 8 years now because of what Paul had said and my desiring to see if I could experience soul travel, get out of the body or something through his techniques or things. And it was like a light switch, and I quit smoking and drinking and doing any drugs all instantly, and I never had any desire at all after all the years. And it was like 40 years of life that I'd lived that way. So that was like a gift from Paul right there in my life, about breaking those habits that I'd had all the way back to when I was very young. That was part of the power that I wasn't getting out of the meditations I was doing for years and the books that I had been so impressed with, like The Impersonal Life and Brotherhood and The Way to the Kingdom and all kinds of things that I was searching and experimenting with. But mainly it's Dwayne's writings that make so much sense about what this life is all about all these things that are being revealed to me that I wasn't aware of, about reptilians and human farming and stuff going on here in the physical, or what is called psych realms, and then having the opportunity to earn a person's way into real freedom in the real universes. It's such a gift to even have the chance.
What a life you've had. You're very brave. I certainly have to applaud all the things that you've gone through. You know, they were tested, it seems, at every turn. But you sure have come a long way, and it's wonderful to hear your story. I take heart, you know, it's so easy to get down and when things aren't going your way. But look at you, you're so inspiring to me. My goodness, what you've gone through and you've come out on top. I'm very proud of you.
Yeah, and I know, Tim, you're reading now book 2, I believe, every day at 6 o'clock. And maybe you could share about how that made a difference in your awareness, or has it? But I know you've been doing this consistently every day for quite a while now. I don't know, at least, 2 months or so, or a month and a half. But can you share, has there been any more? Have you seen more awareness? Because we do value contributing, and you've stepped up and done something, which is reading of the book, which is fun. So have you noticed anything from that?
Yeah, that was Henry's idea. He suggested reading the books, and I'm starting over. I'm just reading New Book 2 over again. I'd read it one time through on the Facebook Live, and then the New Book 6. But I thought it's important to try to, for me, to understand what's being said and gather Dwayne's experiences in this life from like in New Book 2, A Journey to Real Freedom. He's talking about his growing up experiences with his mother and grandmother and grandfather, and how Rebazar and Gopal would be in his dreams, and his purpose, and him being able to get to the point where he knew why he came to Earth. And it's important too. I do see things, or I should say people, paying attention. Like Mark Bernhardt has been paying a lot of attention to, he spends time listening to what I'm reading. I see that besides others, but, and he's, I guess, involved in that Ekinkar Corporation. So he must be not just thinking it's not important to listen, because he has been paying attention. So maybe it is being helpful for him to find out for himself eventually by testing the new you, or maybe he is already from what he's heard of the readings. And things like that seem to be something that a person can think, well, that's an important thing, is to be able to share the information, so a person has a choice to pay attention, or if they're ready. I do think that, like Lila was saying, that I'm brave. Well, it's been a lot of times when I feel like I definitely was not brave in my life, but with the real universal guides, that gives a person a whole new brave in their life. You feel a protection that you never had before. You might think, well, like when I would say, "Be still and know I am God," that was a protection at that time in my life. And I would think, well, that's when I say that it's up to what I was considering a unknown power to protecting me in that way. But I really see the universal guides as being probably in my accidents that I have had to say, is this it? Was I going to be dead in 2 seconds or what, going 100 miles an hour into a rock cliff, or flying over a cliff into a river upside down 7 feet deep and not getting hurt and finding my way out through the no windshield or a pretzelized door. It's just like the river must have been like a glove to catch the crash, but and things like that you wonder if the real universal guides had been in your life protecting you all through your life, if that was them, knowing us and knowing when each person is actually ready to become involved and do something for all, a purpose to be alive at this time and with this new presentation and wonderful worldwide education stuff to be spread to the earth, to be I guess you'd call it revealed, so mankind can, those that are ready can have the opportunity to find out for themselves by testing the new you song to connect to the real guidance and the real education and find a way to earn their way out of this psych realm stuff of reincarnation and coming back in bodies and being human farmed and poisoned and having to experience the nightmares of the physical realm, the torture of babies and on and on. It just seems like, to me, demons ruling the earth and brainwashing people with things that the things that aren't important, they make people think are important and keep their attention there instead of thinking about how wonderful this world could be if everybody was working the earth in a way of producing good, plentiful food and keeping the air clean and the water pure. And it just seems like it's so big of an experience for all of us on this earth at this time with wars and disease and all this stuff going on, that what big lessons it must be that we have to go through, or why does it even have to be at all this way? Why not just get rid of all these authoritarian, brutalitarian beings and live in a world where there is no suffering and hatred and poisons and all these things?
Well, that's why we're here, to show people that there's an alternative. There's an opportunity to get past these terrible things that are going on with the people create here. And it's not about just getting rid of them. They can go and be and do what they want, but we as free beings of light can move on, and we don't have to engage in this nonsense and brutality that's going on. We can get you could say beyond it, or you know, or get through it, and there's so much more to life that's there for us, that people have to get that it's there, and they don't see that because the controllers have people looking at reality as one-dimensional, basically. Even with the spiritual paths and religions, it's basically one-dimensional. They have control over people's imagination, and they're very good at covering their bases in all aspects. So we're here for the new friends here, Lila and Tim and myself, Kelsey, Henry, and Dwayne. And, you know, one person like Dwayne can make a big difference, especially a person like Dwayne with awareness. He can guide people, or he can, like, we use them as a role model. He can show us that there's more just by his very presence and what he demonstrates. We can just see that there's more, and it's difficult, I would say, getting through ourselves. It's very challenging. So we see Dwayne even struggling a lot with his own personal self, and that, in a way, it's encouraging, because we see he's like everybody else. He looks just like you or I. So he's not like the master, like the golden masters that we see put up by the controllers. On the real side, he is this golden light, but here in the creation world, he's just like everybody else. So he has to struggle with what we do too. So by seeing how he does it, you know, using him as a guide and a reference, we can see and manage our own lives better. And it's just a wonderful opportunity to have him here right now in this time in history. Because we all came in with a, you probably heard this, like a, with a, you know, something to do, a mission or something, like a something. Everybody came in with a certain purpose. So he can help us to realize his purpose, whatever it is, or to recognize it and then go on even more to greater purpose. So it's him here in the physical is just a great opportunity, and then we have Dwayne on the real side and the other real guides on the real side, and we can work with them in our dreams, you know, our real side experiences, as well as here. Actually, it's one and the same, real side and this physical, but for the mind, it's, it differentiates, and it's helpful that way. You know, the mind can differentiate, and, you know, it helps it to it helps the real awareness to understand. Are we on? Yeah, okay. So, anyway, yeah, that's great, Tim. See, just like you, one person reading, and you're helping Mark and others. I know others are listening too to what you're reading every day. So they're tuning into you and becoming more aware through, because each one of us has certain attributes that others, you know, may find to resonate with, and you know, not everybody resonates with everybody else. So certain people resonate with each other, and we each have our purpose. You're doing a great job with that.
Well, thanks. I hope there's so many, whatever you want to call it, books, pretty words that are presented to everybody. It's just amazing. Out of all the millions of books and all the things they say, I'm not sure that these reptilians are flooding the world with all kinds of these words that they want the masses to hear or not. They make some words that are so interesting to you wonder about, and then you get attached to them and things like that. I was thinking that sometimes I have had experiences where I think that the real guides were actually physically in my life. And those were times that were like tests. And it also seems like every time they were in my life testing me, I was failing. But that's just part of us learning, I guess, things we never want to do again, or the way we think or act or live. Like, they can put out words, and words seem to have a lot of power. Even like books that I read, they go like, in the beginning, at the dawn of a new cosmic day, when the word consciousness was just awakening, when the stillness of cosmic night yet prevailed, I, the thinker, conceived this, my idea of myself in a new expression, which you call earth manifestation. I saw you, one of my thought rays, a perfect expression of myself. All this I saw in the mirror of my omniscient mind. They just put out so many words, and you have to wonder who is presenting these words and where do they get these words from. That's like, it's just endless words out there. There's millions of books. Libraries are full of all this books and information But I don't know if that's hardly any guidance in any of that stuff. It's like Dwayne's presenting stuff that's of importance to mankind instead of just stuff that's about the physical or how to do this or that. Or and how would a person, unless the real guides are actually guiding them, or from previous lives or whatever it's been, experiences, to get to a point where they have a chance to have the opportunity to see if this time, this life, if it's...
I'm reading here in your dream visions. I think this is kind of pretty darn informative and wonderful. What humans call their dreams are usually symbolic of those wishes which are unseen and hidden in the vast subconscious realm. There is one principle of this area that should be explained here, and that is what psychologists call the pleasure principle, or what is better termed as the primitive self within the human psyche. It is also known as the ego or the id, and its full focus is usually on gaining some sort of satisfaction and pleasure with the lower bodies in the psychic realms. If the subconscious vehicle of a man, the pleasure principle, had its way all the time, then life here would be even more brutal and ending and enduring than it already is now. The bloody history of humans show how the ego has run wild with the desire to conquer all it can, which is the pleasure principle in action. As an example, the laws and rules of this earth are based upon containing the pleasure principle, and any overly abusive behavior a person is led to. Of course, no law or commandment can stop a person from doing what they want to, or even what they desire to think and imagine. So those in control use many types of guilt factors to make a person at least be ashamed for what they are deciding and doing. This is what confession is all about with so many religions, as it is also a great controlling factor to herd others into what the authorities want for themselves. The rep systems, religious, educational, and political, social, sci-fi, tech, are all based upon the conquering of others from the past and the karmic effects which are being experienced today. So, to keep everyone from destroying everything, including themselves, the religious orders have established moral codes and laws because they have no real guidance. And so they must have something to keep the egos of the masses in line with what they want to accomplish. As they know, and they know to rule this planet and their laws, they sure know how. The Ten Commandments is actually a primitive moral code which Moses gained with his adventures. And as he hiked up to the burning bush and then eventually down from Mount Sinai, because the times in which he lived were such, Jehovah, the Lord, Governor God of the astral realm, asked Moses to relay something of a divine order to his people so the authoritarian and the space gods would have some control over the direction that they wanted for their followers, instead of a constant chaotic scenario to deal with. Jehovah and his brother Jehovah and his brother, the Kalaom God, worked both ends as they supported Ramesses with keeping the people as slaves and unaware of the true reality, the All Is. This would seem to be ridiculous to most religious scholars, and the reason being they have no real experience about the earth as they themselves are involved with anything divine. It's merely business as usual. Those were trying times, as all of us were here and having to endure all this terrain. Even though the gods of man use the humans as slaves, they still want some kind of order to things. So the unaware souls will build their temples and statues of themselves for all to see and admire. On the surface, it would seem as though what Moses did was a service to others. But actually, it was just more laws to live by and be restricted with, as they have survived through the centuries to haunt mankind in his dream visions. With the real guidance, a person learns the true reality of the All Is and does not need any man-made laws to govern his life, but is free to be. Can you add anything to that or think about that? What do you say?
Anybody here that's listening that might have had some dreams or real side experiences with what people call Jesus, you guys might want to check out one of our websites. It's called whoisjesus.strikingly.com. And there's a lot of different references from the Bible about real side and dream vision experiences that people in the Bible have had, along with some other references about vaccines, geoengineering, and various topics. And there's some very fun photos on that website. And you might really want to sing the new you and actually find out who Jesus is. There's been a lot of experiences and some photos made where they're seeing beings show up after seeing the new you by the names of Yabel Sakabi and Shams Tabriz, Rebazar, Paul, Rami Nuri, and Kadadaki, these different beings. It's very interesting to hear from the public and what you might see, or if you know anyone that is religious or spiritual and has a Bible or reads the Bible, goes to church, or you have any churches nearby to talk to those people about their dreams and if they've read about the dreams in the Bible. So we got a little bit of echo, but that website is whojesusis.strikingly.com. I just wanted to add that in there because that goes along with you can actually purchase. And on this website, whojesusis.strikingly.com, you can download the book Lila was just reading for free, and you can read that and share it with your friends. So that's a real treasure right there. Thank you.
Yeah, here's one last thing that I think we can kind of ponder or meditate or think about. Or every worldly belief system has developed their own code of laws according to the environment in which they reside. Boy, I think that's very true. All these religions and things that are set up are certainly just worldly belief systems, that's all. And it doesn't amount to much. We have to be able to be aware of what's going on and to be able to look at ourselves and see what is real and what is real to you. So look at yourself and ponder what is going on with me, and you'll be able to see how you feel about the world and the new you, and be able to perceive what is going on. And that's the way you can change not only yourself, but contribute to the all is and to everyone. Thank you. Until next time, unless everyone would like to say something. Val, would you like to say something before we close?
Yeah, I just want to thank you, Lila, and thank you, Tim, for being on tonight. Really enjoyed your story. Quite an adventure your life has been. And I know it's going to get even better. So thank you, and thank you, Kelsey and Henry, for being on, and anybody else who's listening. So we can end the show with everybody can do the new you. We can demonstrate to the listeners how that sounds so they can do it before bedtime, 10 minutes or so, to open their real side experiences up. So, Lila, you want to do it together?
We can all sing. All of us can sing.
Okay,
new you.
Together.
Why not?
Okay.
Thank you all for being here. Until next time, next Thursday at 8. We'll see you then. Good night.
Good night. Happy dreams.
Yes. Yes.
Good night, everybody. Bye.
Good night.